That's Zipa.com.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Truex is ready to roll.
You know, we're all 0 points again right now, so.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
The thought of winter coming can be chilling. Knee-deep snow, face-numbing winds, frozen fingers, temperatures below zero. And yet, without a Duralast car battery, it could be even worse. That's why Duralast batteries are tested to perform in harsh conditions. So even if it's 40 below zero, your car can start up like it's 72 and sunny. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Join MRN as we travel through the life of NASCAR's most popular driver, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. comes back to the Daytona International Speedway, leading the pack.
I won races that I never thought I'd win.
From growing up under the Earnhardt name to Super Speedway wins to Whiskey River, we dive into everything Dale Jr.
He's Rain Man for NASCAR history.
You know, we weren't the typical family that got to sit down to dinner together.
Tune in to Junior's Journey, available on iTunes for download only on the Motor Racing Network.
With Speed Weeks at Daytona about 3 weeks away, defending Cup champ Martin Truex Jr. says the question causing most teams to scratch their heads is how to make fast pit stops with one less guy, according to new NASCAR rules.
I feel confident that it's going to be kind of a wait-and-see approach. You know, everybody's going to think they have a handle on it, and then somebody's going to do it different on pit road and whip everybody's butt in Daytona. So then you're going to have to relearn everything and try to figure it out. From what I understand, it's been really difficult. A lot of the weight falls on the jack man as far as making the stops go fast. And, you know, when all that pressure gets put on one position, it makes that one position really important.
There's more at MRN.com. And don't forget NASCAR Live Tuesday night at 7 Eastern as we look at the new NASCAR Hall of Fame inductees just days before their official ceremony. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
6:06, welcome back and welcome to hour number three of the Todd Bromelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. We'll kick it off by saying congratulations to James N. Ely. He is the winner of tonight's four-pack of tickets to see World Championship Ice Racing at the US at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena coming up on the 27th of this month. Again, that is ice racing, not ice skating. Anton Apollo Ono and Bonnie Blair. This is bikes, dirt bikes with spikes on the tires, racing around the ice, 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. How they do it, I have no idea. Scott Unash, our sports director, has witnessed this before, and he says, quite frankly, worth the price of admission, which for James N. Ely was free. However, if you want to go check it out, you can get your tickets at the U.S. Cellular Center box office in downtown Cedar Rapids or at the Ice Arena. Check it out online as well. More details at KGYMradio.com. We have for you today a poll question on our website. Which Super Bowl matchup would you prefer for Super Bowl 52 now that the championship games are set this weekend? We're staring at four possibilities. And what do we need to do to avoid a Patriots-Vikings Super Bowl? 319-366-1600. CBS Sports prognosticators all predicting a Patriots. They're, a 9-point favorite, I think, at the moment.
Correct.
Or 9.5, the number keeps moving. They had no problem covering 13.5 points against the Tennessee Titans, by the way. For just a sliver of the first quarter, it looked like that was going to be a game. And then New England did. And then, of course, The other games sort of speak for themselves. You had the Eagles as home underdogs taking down the Falcons. And then Jacksonville and Pittsburgh in a high-scoring affair. But Jacksonville hangs on. Pittsburgh, did you watch any of the Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game?
Yes, all of it.
Do you agree with Mike Tomlin handling the final, inside the final 2 minutes there, where he didn't trust his defense to make a stop? I think they would have got the ball back with about a minute 40 left if the timeouts and the two-minute warning and everything, and instead elected to try the field goal, and it didn't work out.
No, I thought that you have to roll with your offense, but I think that it underlines the issues in Pittsburgh, what we saw yesterday. A franchise that has built their brand on defense. And I think what Big Ben and those wide receivers and Le'Veon Bell have done offensively has been great. But defensively, they're not good enough. They have not been good enough to get over the hump. And when you give up 45 points to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you don't deserve to move on. And there was just something about this Pittsburgh team that they just seemed a little bit disconnected these past couple weeks with Le'Veon Bell proclaiming that they were going to move on to the Super Bowl and have two consecutive rematches in a row, and then him bringing up his contract extension, and then the talk about Ben Roethlisberger retiring. I cannot put my finger on what it is with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I have been waiting for them to get over the hump for the past 2 years because they are so incredibly talented offensively, but they haven't been able to do so. And I get that Blake Bortles has been playing better football, but he's still not a good quarterback. I think that offensively, they've done a good job of limiting what he has to do and putting him in positions to succeed, but he's still not a good quarterback. And there is no excuse that the Pittsburgh Steelers cannot advance past the Jacksonville Jaguars, scoring 42 points and racking up over 540 yards of offense. But Todd, the one thing that bothered me a little bit yesterday is after the highly entertaining Vikings and Saints game, and you watch an incredible game like that, and you kind of have that rush after 10 minutes after the game where you're like, wow, what did I just witness? That was outstanding. I can't wait for more. And then you realize that Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles are the three other quarterbacks other than Tom Brady remaining in the playoffs, and Case Keenum and Nick Foles are going to be squaring off in an NFC championship game. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see how the New England Patriots don't win this thing.
I said field goal, by the way. I misspoke. I meant the onside, the decision for the onside kick. I don't either. Which team here, Jacksonville or Philadelphia, has the better shot, in your opinion? I think it's a long shot, to say the least. Most people would probably look and say Philadelphia with home field advantage. It is, you're taking the Vikings, which in years past you would say, okay, maybe not a huge deal, but you put them outside in cold conditions, and the last couple years prior to moving into US Bank Stadium, they had been playing at TCF Bank while they were getting ready, so maybe the indoor itis sets in as you take them outside to Philadelphia. But does this dispel the notion that you have to have a great quarterback to win in the NFL? 319-366-1600. One of the four teams has a great quarterback, Tom Brady. The other three teams, as Alex just mentioned, have guys that were at one point in time on someone's scrap heap.
Playing for the Rams, two
or
of them.
Multiple scrap heaps.
Jeff Fisher's, to be exact.
Where Keenum, where was he last year?
He was with the Los Angeles Rams.
He was a backup.
He started the season, got
everybody
replaced.
Thought he would lose his job to Goff. And
then he replaced Nick Foles the year before in St. Louis when Nick Foles wasn't any good. So I think the hope that Jeff Fisher lands another job is completely gone based on the fact of look at the three quarterbacks that have left the past couple years and see what they've done without him. But I don't think it does. I think that this is just such a unique year where you have an injury to the best quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers, and there's somewhat of a trickle-down, and Carson Wentz, for that matter, in Philadelphia, and there's a little bit of a trickle-down effect in the NFC. I don't think that if everybody is healthy in that conference, that we're talking about a Vikings and Philadelphia maybe Philadelphia makes it, but I don't think that the Vikings probably advance that far because of Case Keenum. I love what he's doing. I think that, like I said, Pat Shurmur is putting him in the best position to win, but I really would have liked to have seen a guy like Drew Brees remain in the playoffs. I still think that there is just no way where I look at the matchups this weekend and then moving forward two weekends beyond this weekend where Tom Brady loses to Blake Bortles and or Nick Foles and Case Keenum. I still think that quarterback play, especially guys who are at the top of their game, still are the kings of the NFL, and that's why I just have to roll with Brady. I think the only defense that has really gotten him over the past, I'd say, decade, the Denver Broncos. And I think that the Vikings are very good defensively. I think the Eagles are very good defensively. And I think the Jaguars are very good defensively. But I don't think any of them quite match up to that Denver defense we saw a couple years ago.
Earlier in hour number one, we took a phone call. I think it was Chad who admitted to turning the Vikings-Saints game off and having to find out on his tablet later on that he had missed his team's greatest comeback ever. Anybody else out there in Vikings fandom that wants to own up to turning off the TV yesterday, thinking that they knew the inevitable outcome because of their history as Vikings fans? And if you did, how did you find out that you made one of the biggest mistakes in your sporting lives? 319-366-1600. Let's go to John and Tiffany wants to talk about the champions of the NFC North. John, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I just heard Alex talking about injuries, et cetera, in the NFC, and that he didn't think that the NFC championship game would be the same. I got to sit and wonder, we lost our number one quarterback, number one running back. Actually, is the number one running back through four games is leading the NFC in rushing. But here we are, still 13-3, won a playoff game, and I don't necessarily think that injuries were just to the other teams. We had just as many as everyone else did. That's all. Got to go. Have a great night and love listening to the show as always.
Appreciate it, John. What do you think Adrian Peterson's thinking watching all of this? I know that's not exactly an original thought. There's probably 8 million people that have posited on that over the last 24 hours. But if you're AP, the face of that franchise for so many years, and then you ultimately part ways, and it was such a miserable year for him starting in New Orleans, and then winding up in Arizona. But to sit there and watch Minnesota have all of the success without you, the success that you would have liked to have had with the Vikings. Now, I think it is going to be interesting to see because you've got teams involved on both sides, the NFC and the AFC, where their coaching staff is in flux moving forward. Pat Shurmur is, depending on what report you read, either almost assuredly the next head coach of the Giants or close to being the next head coach of the Giants. And then, as widely reported, the Patriots are most likely going to lose both Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia once the season is over. Patricia, the next head coach of the Detroit Lions, and Josh McDaniels is going to be the beneficiary of a bidding war, it seems, between the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans for his services. So how does that affect things moving forward? Do those storylines with the coaches become a distraction. I think if you're the Patriots, you have a this is it sort of feel here, and you're rallying the troops for one last go with McDaniels and Patricia and Belichick, and then those guys go their separate ways, and who knows what happens if Belichick stays. And a lot of this goes back to the ESPN report last week that ruffled a lot of feathers, but I've seen a lot of people that have said, is this not an indication that maybe there was some smoke to the fire, that this year of all years, both of the coordinators are leaving when they've had an opportunity to do so in the past? Does this feel like the end for the Patriots? 319-366-1600. And I know it's a stupid question to ask, but you almost have to. Brady is 40 years old. Belichick reportedly is butting heads with Robert Kraft. Both coordinators are all but out the door at the end of the year. Is this the end for probably the greatest dynasty that you've seen in the NFL in its history? 319-366-1600.
I doubt it. It all depends on whether Bill Belichick decides to come back or not. I think that a lot of people are pointing out the fact that Belichick in the past has not been a guy who really grooms his coordinators for coaching jobs. He's not a guy that mentors, necessarily pushes his guys towards other head coaching jobs, and this year he did. And I think that was part of the ESPN the magazine story after Jimmy Garoppolo was traded and Bill Belichick was reportedly furious with Robert Kraft for choosing Tom Brady over him and the future quarterback that he had. That was part of the story that Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels, after years of remaining in Foxborough, were all of a sudden being groomed for head coaching jobs. It really hasn't mattered what coordinators have been in Foxborough with Bill Belichick, whether it was Charlie Weiss or Romeo Crennel or Josh McDaniels or Bill O'Brien. It hasn't mattered. So I trust Bill Belichick to hire coordinators. Whoever he brings in is going to be qualified. And at this point, it doesn't look like there are really many openings that he would be tempted to take. It looks like most of them have been filled up. And I don't think in the NFL it's as big of a distraction that you're going to lose a coordinator at the end of the season, because coordinators, unlike in college, don't leave the team to take over before the playoffs end. In college, you'll see coordinators leave and coaches leave before the bowl game, and that is a big distraction, and that's a big disadvantage when you have coaches leaving a team before you're preparing for another game. But in this case, I don't buy it as a huge distraction for any of these teams.
319-366-1600, talking a little NFL on the Monday after one of the greatest endings to an NFL playoff game we've ever seen. As a matter of fact, it's the first time in history there's ever been a walk-off touchdown. You've heard of walk-off home runs. It was a walk-off touchdown, Case Keenum to Stephon Diggs, and so much has been made. Marcus Williams is the yes. Saints player. He's a rookie who just, he biffed it there at the end. I mean, that is going to follow him the rest of his career in the NFL. But you know what that kid did? He sat in front of the media and he owned it yesterday. And I know sometimes those of us who are in this business, whether it's behind a computer screen or behind a microphone, a TV camera, sometimes we put too much importance on that because the rest of the world doesn't care whether somebody talks to the media or not. But it says, to me anyway, it speaks volumes to his character that he didn't run and hide, that he came out and said, I screwed up. His teammates have his back. The New Orleans fans, most of them anyway, have his back. And you got to think that that's going to be a pretty big chip on his shoulder the rest of his career. That being said, what were the Saints thinking? How do you let that happen?
I have no idea. There's no situation in which you understand that Williams not wrapping up and tackling, because if he tackles Stephon Diggs at the spot, the game's over. And if he somehow gets out of bounds, then they have an attempt at a long field goal. But I want to go back a little bit to talking about Case Keenum, because I people are on the text line are a little wondering why I'm not lauding him as the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. It's the same reason that the Vikings' own coach isn't sold on Case Keenum. Going into this week, Mike Zimmer was asked about his quarterback and the job that he's done, and he didn't respond with praise. Rather, he responded with, if we're down by two scores, I will yank him. I will yank him from the game. Why has he not come out and said that he is our guy moving forward? Because Mike Zimmer has done one of the best coaching jobs in the NFL this season for all of the reasons that John and Tiffin brought up. You lose one of the better rookie running backs in the league in Dalvin Cook. All the injuries that they've gone through the past few years that have seemingly derailed their franchise, and they were right back in a position. They are right back in a position to get to the Super Bowl with a journeyman quarterback that they don't think is their guy moving forward. They're, Pat Shurmur, the reason he's getting a head coaching job is because of what he has done with the hand that he has been dealt, not just the quarterback, but the running back situation. Being able to get the most out of Latavius Murray and being able to get the most out of Jarrett McKinnon when the hand that he was dealt was not exactly the best. So I give more credit to the coaching staff for the Minnesota Vikings getting them this far with a little bit of a man down at quarterback. And I've seen the guy play in the NFL for years, and I don't think that he is better than average as a starting quarterback, yet they are still winning games.
8092 on the Hurtin and Stalker text line. If you guys think that because Aaron Rodgers got hurt, the Vikings win the North, you're not looking at the whole Packers team, then I think he's directing that at you.
Yes.
Because let's not lump everybody into the same boat here. If you've listened to the program at all, you know that I'm a Packers fan, and I said all year long that that team was essentially one player. And they learn. They learn their lesson. You cannot build a team around one player. They looked awful without Rodgers. So you put Rodgers back in the mix? No. That doesn't necessarily make them better than the Vikings. This was the Vikings' year, and I think the fans sort of feel that way now. Like, does this not feel like destiny? And I know you're going to get sick and tired of this, especially people who hate the Chicago Cubs, but I keep drawing that parallel. You go back to the 2016 season, there were so many moments in the 2016 Major League Baseball season where you looked at the Cubs, where they had their backs against the wall. Mother's Day game comes to mind, and something special happened. And you turn to the person next to you and you go, this feels like the year. And I think a lot of Vikings fans have to be doing that today if they weren't already doing it going into the game yesterday. Because we talked about the string of miserable failures that Vikings fans have endured. Four Super Bowl losses, the Gary Anderson kick in 1998, the Brett Favre interception against the Saints. They all add up. And it just seemed as if here was another chapter in the story, in the saga yesterday.
Maybe the most painful one yet.
And we had at least one person say, yeah, I turned the TV off. And I turned my phone off because I didn't want all the texts from my friends, my family, either poking me or asking me if I was okay. And then he gets on his tablet later on and has to see the final score. The final score, which, by the way, should have been 29-25, but the Vikings chose to kneel on the extra point, the mandated extra point attempt, thus making anybody who was holding a -5.5 ticket a loser in Las Vegas. We picked it at 5 on the Carl Ernie's pick 6, so it wound up being a push, but there was a lot of money at stake hanging on the extra point attempt, and basically, when Minnesota took a knee, it swung the victory in Las Vegas to the people who had backed the Saints. Now, that and whatever you won from your ticket will get you a whole bunch of coffee, I'm sure. But the Vikings won the game where it matters in real life. and did so in tremendous fashion. If you haven't heard Paul Allen's call from Vikings Radio Network, I highly recommend that you find it. Speaking of hearing things, coming up in just a few minutes, we lost the immortal Keith Jackson over the weekend at the age of 89. And as I've want to do on the show, I came across audio of your favorite and my favorite college football coach, Washington State's Mike Leach, several years ago talking about, you guessed it, the greatness of Keith Jackson. So we will have a little Mike Leach audio for you in the next few minutes. Also on the horizon, another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. 6:28, quick timeout, back with that update and more after this.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, and now Kate. One of them is always there.
The bag sale is back. Bring in your reusable Menards bag or pick one up for 98 cents and save 15% on anything you can fit inside the bag. No matter how you stack it, no matter how you pack it, save 15% on everything you can fit in the bag now at Menards. Pack your bag with doorknobs, paint, groceries, any item that fits in the bag. Hurry in. Sale ends January 20th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
There are still companies that care. Companies that have your back. Companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
6:30, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. We mentioned the passing of Keith Jackson over the weekend. Also learned today of the passing of Hall of Fame umpire Doug Harvey, who for many, many years had a segment, I believe it was sponsored by State Farm, if I remember, during the game of the week, where he would go over the rules of the game. And I remember watching it as a young kid, and Doug Harvey had a tremendous autobiography. They called him God. He's one of only nine umpires in the Hall of Fame. And he passed away. News of his passing came across today as well. So you lose people every year. But the older that you get, it's more people that you have a connection to. At least that's the way that I feel. And Keith Jackson, for many people, was the voice of college football, and Doug Harvey, a tremendous spot in the game of baseball's history. And we'll have a little bit of audio, as we mentioned, not Keith Jackson, but somebody talking about Keith Jackson coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa State men got their first conference victory hosting Baylor on Saturday, 75-65. They were led again by star freshman Lindell Wigginton with 30 points at right around 50% from the floor. Nick Weiler-Babb had 15 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. And Solomon Young had an 11-point, 12-rebound double-double. They're now 1-4 in the Big 12. The UNI men also got their first conference victory over Valpo, 81-76. Tywan Pickford was a perfect 6-for-6 from the floor, including 4-for-4 from distance for 23 points, and Austin Fife also had 20 points with 8 rebounds. The Iowa women got tripped up by Purdue at home on Saturday, 76-70, dropping them to 15-3. But that's not to say the Hawkeyes didn't get another stellar performance from Megan Gustafson. She had a career-high 37 points with 14 rebounds and tied a program record with 17 made field goals. That performance earned her yet another Big Ten Player of the Week award, her sixth of the season, which also ties a Big Ten record. The 7th-ranked Iowa wrestling team beat number 3 Oklahoma State by claiming 6 of 10 bouts, 5 by decision and a tech ball from Brandon Sorensen. Freshman Spencer Lee was among those to win by decision. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the boys from Cedar Rapids, Washington, hosting Fairfield beginning at 7:30 on our FM frequencies. It's Monday, so that means we're also going to have the Cyclone Call-In Show. That'll start right after the show, and upon its conclusion, we're actually going to join a big NBA matchup between Golden State and Cleveland. You can hear all that on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I don't know how it became a historically NBA-centric day, but it did. Many games played earlier today, matinees, including the Bulls. They took on the Miami Heat and beat them 119-111 at the United Center. Fred Hoiberg squad now 17-27 on the year. Not good. Mike Leach audio. Mike Leach talking about one of the greats of broadcasting and college football, Keith Jackson. This is from several years ago. You'll hear it when we return next. There may be a Mike Leach clip for everything. I'm not quite sure, but I stumbled across this today, and I thought, you know what? We've joked about it in the past. People love Mike Leach. He's a goofy guy. They love hearing him. They love hearing him be goofy. That's what we've got in store for you next as we close the book on 3 hours of local programming here with the Todd Bromwell Camp Show. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball. And Andrew McCutchen, the Pirates already waving the white flag. And it's not even February. Spring training hasn't even arrived yet. And the Pirates are selling. Gerrit Cole over the weekend, now Andrew McCutchen. Baseball discussion on the way as well tonight. When we return, you hear Mike Leach on Keith Jackson. Back after this.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
So, how do you like being a new dad?
Wow, no, it's,
amazing, right?
Totally, but expensive.
Get used to it. You got life insurance, right?
I've only got so much money.
What'd you pay for that coffee?
I don't know, a couple of bucks?
Listen, I'm 34, and I got $750,000 in life insurance for under a dollar a day. That's way less than you put out for that mocha latte.
Seriously? How?
I went to SelectQuote.com. They shop highly rated insurance companies to find your best rates.
Well, I need to protect my family. If SelectQuote can find me rates like that, that's one less thing to worry about.
Exactly.
Give your family the protection it needs at a price you can afford. To see how affordable life insurance could be for you, go to SelectQuote.com or call 800-747-6699. That's 800-747-6699. 800-747-6699. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
6:36, welcome back in. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show right here on KGYM along with Alex Kuhn. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. And we lost one of the greats over the weekend, Keith Jackson. Just the name alone evokes college football for many people. I mentioned when we talked with John Walters in the first hour of the program tonight that 2 years ago, being in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl and walking around, and the Keith Jackson quote comes to mind about that stadium talking to you. And I couldn't help but think of that. And it talked to me, and it was kind of in the Keith Jackson voice, because it just, when I was a kid, watching the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day, you just expected to hear Keith Jackson doing that game. And in my mind, I close my eyes right now and I'm picturing the San Gabriel Mountains and that sunset and the Rose Bowl and everything about it. And I'm hearing Keith Jackson. He's talking about Iowa and Washington and all of the other matchups, good and not so good through the years. Keith Jackson, by the way, many people do not remember this, and I actually didn't remember this until it was pointed out in the wake of his passing. His final game, the final game that he called, is arguably one of the greatest national championship games of all time prior to this year, you can say. And that's the Rose Bowl between Texas and USC. That was his final broadcast. You want to talk about going out on top. That was going out on top.
I still think that is the greatest college football game of all time.
Oh, Nelly.
And I just remember one quote that he made from that game.
Boy, I hope when I pass away, someone does a really crappy impersonation of me. Everybody all across the country today, they're really crappy Keith Jackson impersonations. Whoa, Nelly. Well, I wouldn't necessarily say this is an impression. And I wish I should have written down the year. I want to say that this is about a 5 or 6 year old clip. But it's Washington State coach Mike Leach. We've played plenty of Mike Leach audio on this program before. He's a friend of the station. He was on Balbinot and Bromwell Camp back in the day. You know, if you've listened to me here for the last 6 and a half, going on 7 years, that I have an affinity for this man, which borders on a little creepy. But we asked a while ago, should we make audio from Mike Leach a regular part of the program? And the response was an overwhelming yes. I swear to God, I did not seek this out today. It fell into my lap looking for Keith Jackson audio. It popped up as one of these suggestions, and I said, this is somebody telling me we need to bring this to the masses today. So via the miracle of the internet and YouTube, here's the one and only Mike Leach talking about his affinity for the one and only Keith Jackson.
If it was something bad, he'd go, "Whoa, Nelly," and it'd be just a quick one. And then if it was some game changer, game winner, it'd be longer. Whoa, Nelly, and he could go deep, and then Nelly, and he could go like that, and just the whole thing was worth it.
And maybe that wasn't worth it in the end, but you got a little Mike Leach audio on a Monday in January. How about that? Makes it all worthwhile for sticking around for 2 hours and 35 minutes with us, right? 319-366-1600. Keith Jackson, one of the greats, 89 years old. And as Dari Noka put it best earlier today, you don't think people are going to live forever, but it still kind of catches you off guard when you see him passing away. And remembrances, especially the one, there's one put out by the Rose Bowl that's online right now, which is very worth checking out. And it's hard not to hear him saying Oklahoma and Texas and all those great matchups that he called through the years. And again, Rose Bowl, Keith Jackson, one of the original booth members for Monday Night Football back in the day. Keith Jackson, who for years was on World Series calls and any major sporting event, but baseball, college football, Keith Jackson, that's what you think of. Now the baseball part is interesting. I just watched the other day, I think it was the 77-78 World Series with the Yankees and the Dodgers, and Keith Jackson was calling it, and he called a good baseball game, but nothing like football. Speaking of baseball, big news today. If you have not heard, the San Francisco Giants acquiring the services of former Pirates outfielder, All-Star outfielder Andrew McCutchen. They send a couple minor league players and some international cash of $500,000 in international money to the Pirates for McCutchen, and they're also going to receive from Pittsburgh a couple $1 million toward his salary. That is in the span of, I believe, about 36 hours. Pittsburgh has dealt its ace pitcher, Gerrit Cole, and arguably the face of the franchise, Andrew McCutchen. And it's January 15th. What do you do if you're a Pirates fan? How do you get excited about the upcoming season if you're a Pirates fan? And it's not the first time we've ever seen this happen before, but if you bought Pirates season tickets 2 weeks ago, or you got them for Christmas, or you bought them for somebody for the holidays, you got buyer's remorse right now, don't you?
Yes. Now this, I don't know. You asked the question, how do you get excited for the upcoming season? You don't. And it's just sad to me that the Pittsburgh Pirates went through a fantastic rebuild. They, for years and years and years and years, they were selling off pieces, and finally they acquired enough prospects to make a run at it, and all they have to show for it is a couple of wild card game losses.
If you're a Cubs fan, if you're a Cardinals fan, even if you're a Brewers fan, you welcome this with open arms, right? And the NL Central just got a little bit easier because the Pirates aren't even going to try to put up a fight this year. And they're basically, and this goes back, I had an opportunity last night, against my better judgment in hindsight always being 2020, to drive home in a blinding snowstorm from Clinton, Iowa. But I had an opportunity last night to go see Seattle general manager Jerry DePoto at the hot stove banquet that the Clinton Lumber Kings put on. Fine event. My pal Ted Torno, who's the general manager over there, has done a great job with that franchise and what he's had to work with in the last 15 years. And Jerry DePoto was asked last night about the pace of this offseason and why teams aren't doing a whole lot, why you're still seeing guys like Jake Arrieta and JD Martinez out there. And until he pointed it out, I guess I didn't really put two and two together, but in Jerry DePoto's words, you've got upwards of 10 teams in Major League Baseball right now that are flat-up tanking. 10 teams that are flat-up trying to tank. So you automatically take them out of the equation, and then he says you have to take away the teams that feel they're in a pretty solid position with regard to the luxury tax, because there is no salary cap in baseball, but you do pay a stiff penalty if you go over a certain threshold in salary. So it's a sort of a soft salary cap. So DePoto says you take those teams that are right up to that luxury tax cap, take them out of the equation because they're not going to be able to make any deals and make any signings. Because basically what you're left with is about 10 teams that are honestly looking to acquire talent to win, to make themselves better, that have the means to without being penalized. And then look at those teams and say, is this player, how many of these teams is he not a fit on? And you take them out, and so you narrow it, and you're narrowing it, and you're narrowing it, and you're narrowing it. And then it becomes a matter of trying to get together on the dollars and cents and on the years. And so once he said that last night, I thought, I never really thought of it like that. There's 10 teams, and he basically said one of the reasons why the Mariners didn't follow the route of the Cubs and the Astros in basically tanking, and I know that that phrase still doesn't resonate well with a lot of fans, including fans of the Cubs and Astros, but that's what it was. The organizational philosophy was we're going to be really bad so that we can get high draft picks, and hopefully our scouting turns those into major league players. It worked for the Cubs, it worked for the Astros. Like Jerry DePoto says, the Mariners couldn't do that because there's 10 teams right now that are trying to do the same thing. And someone is going to wind up with the 10th pick in the draft. And the 10th pick in the draft isn't the first pick in the draft. You're a long way away from number one when you're number 10, especially in the baseball draft. So his solution was go out and make a bunch of trades and try to completely change the face of that franchise. But there's your reason why you're not seeing a whole lot of movement, especially with free agent signings this offseason. A, you've got upwards of 10 teams that aren't even trying to win, so they're not going to spend money because they don't have to. And then you're going to have a bunch of teams that are over or right at that luxury tax threshold where it doesn't make sense for them to make a major acquisition because they're going to get a major hit from Major League Baseball. And then there's teams where guys are a square peg in a round hole, so out of the equation, all of a sudden, a very small group to deal with. Now, back to the Pirates, they traded a frontline starter with 2 years of control and got very little from the Astros. They got four major league ready pieces from the Astros, but they didn't get a single superstar among the players. And then you trade Andrew McCutchen to the Giants and your return is minimal as well. I don't know what they're doing. They're not, this isn't like a full tank job, but they're also not acquiring the talent to be any better 2 or 3 years down the road, at least in my opinion, looking at this.
Are they financially strapped like the Marlins?
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh is a small market, so that's always going to be something you take into the equation. Their window was there, and they couldn't get past the Cardinals and the Cubs. The wild card games, you go back to 2015, Pirates-Cubs wild card game, Arrieta closes the door on Pittsburgh, and then the last couple years, you've seen the Pirates and the Cubs and the Cardinals essentially push the Pirates further down the pecking order, and they've decided that they're going to pack it in. January 15th, the season is over for the Pirates before they even open the doors in Bradenton for pitchers and catchers. And that sucks if you're a Pirates fan. And that's the nature of the game nowadays.
Now, are they going to go, I'm asking you to look into your crystal ball here for just a second, but are they going to go into a long stretch of futility, if you will, similar to what the Atlanta Braves have gone through since they did very similarly the same thing a couple years back?
Yeah, and you look at the Braves. The Braves are going to be a team, I'll tell you right now, to keep an eye on this year as a wild card contender. I really believe that going into spring training. I don't know if it's going to be that futile, but if I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, I'm pretty happy about this because they're in worse shape than the Reds, far worse shape than the Brewers, and they're not even in the same stratosphere as the Cubs and the Cardinals right now. So NL Central fans, rejoice. The going got a little bit easier in the last 36 hours because Gerrit Cole and now Andrew McCutchen are no longer going to be wearing Pirates uniforms. And the Giants, is this the even year? Are we ramping up? They got Evan Longoria. They remind me a little bit of the 1992 Oakland A's where they had a good core group, but it was that time they were getting a little long in the tooth and they packed the roster with a lot of other guys that were getting old in the tooth and they thought maybe this veteran team could come together and win one last go-around. We'll see. Go look at the 1992 World Series and find out whether the A's won it or not. I won't spoil it for you. 319-366-1600-650. We got the Cyclone Courtside Show coming up for you, 1600 AM, complete with an appearance by the one and only Cyclone Jerry, courtesy of our friend Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register. High school basketball on the way and more, a whole lot more, coming up on KGYM tonight. Stop by our website, kgymradio.com, and get the full schedule. Plus, while you're there, you can vote in our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. What Super Bowl matchup would you like to see most this year, given the four options? We will know this time next week who's going to be playing in Minneapolis in Super Bowl 52. We already know Pink is playing in Minneapolis. She's singing the national anthem. Who will be the teams playing? 319-366-1600. Step aside, take a quick break. We come back. We'll have that final Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you tonight and then get you out of the way Monday night, out the door, home, in bed, whatever. It'll make much more sense if this were on much later at night. But I don't know. I go to bed early.
I'm going to go to bed very early tonight, so it makes sense.
And then we'll reconvene here on Tuesday. How about that? Back with more after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today!
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DePaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DePaco's online banking or app. Not a DePaco member? Join today in branch or online at DePaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
How about this? I have been told on the text line that Gene Steratore, the referee from last night's Minnesota-New Orleans game, is doing the Penn State-Minnesota basketball game tonight. Gene Steratore works as an official for both the NFL and does college games on the side. We see him at Carver Hawkeye all the time, but poor guy had to bring the Saints back onto the field last night for that extra point attempt. It's in the rules, and if you're the Saints, good on you for coming back out for that.
But you see Thomas Morstad, the kicker, who lined up at D tackle for that last?
Yeah.
He had broken ribs too.
Yeah. But you got to do what you got to do, the rule book says, and there were plenty of bettors in Las Vegas for that kneel down. It mattered whether you won money or lost money. 6:55, we'll step aside and let Kyle have the floor for your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa State men got their first conference victory hosting Baylor on Saturday, 75-65. They were led again by star freshman Lindell Wigginton with 30 points at right around 50% from the floor. Nick Weiler-Babb had 15 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds, while Solomon Young had an 11-point, 12-rebound double-double. They're now 1-4 in the Big 12. The UNI men also got their first conference victory over Valpo, 81-76. Tywan Pickford was a perfect 6-for-6 from the floor, including 4-for-4 from distance for 23 points. And Austin Fife also had 20 points with 8 rebounds. The Iowa women got tripped up by Purdue at home on Saturday, 76-70, dropping them to 15-3. But that's not to say the Hawkeyes didn't get another stellar performance from Megan Gustafson. She had a career-high 37 points with 14 rebounds and tied a program record with 17 made field goals. That performance earned her yet another Big Ten Player of the Week award, her sixth of the season, which also ties a Big Ten record. The seventh-ranked Iowa wrestling team beat number 3 Oklahoma State by claiming 6 of 10 bouts, 5 by decision and a tech fall from Brandon Sorensen. Freshman Spencer Lee was among those to win by decision. Tonight after the show, we're going to have the boys from Cedar Rapids, Washington, hosting Fairfield beginning at 7:30 on our FM frequencies. It's Monday, so that means we're also going to have the Sideline Call-In Show. That'll start right after the show, and upon its conclusion, we're actually going to join a big NBA matchup between Golden State and Cleveland. You can hear that on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym.
Chicago Tribune is having a little fun with the news that Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers are dating. They have tweeted out the story about it, and it is slugged, racing driver and Bears fan Danica Patrick confirms she's dating Bachelorette winner's brother. That Bears-Packers rivalry, it carries over into reality TV. That's going to do it for a Monday. Kyle just told you what's coming your way. We certainly hope you enjoyed today's show, and Well, we hope you're back here with us tomorrow. We'll have another chance for you to take home 4 tickets to the World Ice Racing Championships and a whole lot more in store for you. Thanks for listening, and we'll join you tomorrow.